Taiwan became a kind of lifeboat for Chinese people fleeing the communist revolution there. But the island was home to Aboriginal tribes long before any Chinese people moved there. Today, indigenous peoples are just 2% of Taiwan's population. The new Taiwanese government has pledged to pay more attention to them. NPR's Anthony Kuhn met some of Taiwan's Aboriginal people and talked about their hopes.
At the inauguration of President Tsai Ing-wen on May 20th, Aboriginal tribesmen in ethnic costumes sang and danced on stage. In her speech, Tsai promised to make amends for the way previous governments have treated indigenous tribes. Tsai's Democratic Progressive Party has previously pushed for formal independence from China, and part of that effort has been to focus on indigenous peoples in order to establish a Taiwanese cultural identity separate from that of China. To see how her promises went over, I went to speak to some Aboriginal students on the palm tree-lined campus of Taiwan University. Chen Xi is an entomology major. He says he expects Tsai Ing-wen's party will treat Aborigines better than their predecessors. But ultimately, he says, both major parties represent the ethnic Han majority.
Han people often forget their role as colonizers when they came to this island. Their lack of consciousness of this fact makes it even scarier.
I followed Chen and other Aboriginal students to a sort of ceremony held out on a busy street corner. They're dressed in tribal tunics, bare feet, and temporary facial tattoos. The students line up and shout out their names and the names of their tribes. Some of them weep as they recount their hardships. One woman of the Atayal tribe, named Yayut, said that for a long time she concealed her identity as an Aborigine because her friends said she didn't look like one and she feared being different. Her classmates cried and cheered her on. Watching the ceremony was Wang Meixia, the student's anthropology teacher. Wang explains that before the Chinese Nationalist Party retreated to Taiwan in 1949, the island had been a Japanese colony for half a century. Wang says that the Japanese took the Aborigines' ancestral lands, and the state has owned them ever since. And she says the government often fails to understand the relationship between Aborigines and their land.
Judging from the legislation they've put forward, I feel what the government can do is limited. I don't think the government necessarily understands what's going on up in the mountains.
I traveled up into the mountains to the village of Kusunu, which means mist-covered in the language of the Atayal people who live there. Locals in the village were passing a rainy afternoon with food, drink, and karaoke. The Atayal are an Austronesian people, some of whose ancestors are believed to have come from the Philippines. Aboriginal rights activist Wu Dumi Jiang says the government has passed laws intended to give local residents a degree of self-governance, but he says they're not very helpful.
If someone wants to build a hotel on our land, it's the county government that has to approve it, not the indigenous inhabitants. The government says we can organize cultural events and associations and vote, but they have not given us back the right to manage our land.
One of the Aborigines' biggest complaints is that they're not allowed to hunt. Da Gao Wu Dao is an elder with the local Presbyterian church. He says that hunting is a traditional way of managing the land and the wildlife on it. But more than that, he says, it's a spiritual bond connecting the hunter with the land and with his tribe.
Hunting is how we connect with our ancestors' wisdom about using the forest. The only way for us to receive this wisdom is to experience it in the forest.
But he says many young indigenous folk these days leave their tribal lands to study and work. Da Gao Wu Dao estimates that there are only 4 people left in his village who can still be called hunters. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Kusunu Village, Taoyuan County, Taiwan.